The following podcast is brought to you by Radio Southland and New Zealand On Air. Radio Southland is a community access media station based in Invercargill, New Zealand. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, radiosouthland.org.nz, for our contact details.
I'm Senga and welcome to Heritage South, the show connecting Southlanders to their heritage and where we talk heritage happenings from around the region. And I have David Dudfield, team leader of experience for Te Anua Museum of Southland, joining me again, which I always enjoy. Kia ora. So in this episode, we thought we would delve just a little bit into some built heritage history, looking particularly at the history behind Masonic Lodge buildings here in Southland. Before we do, did you know, Davey, that the origins of Freemasonry can be traced right back to the 14th century and that they were one of the medieval guilds of stonemasonry?
Pray tell more.
I know. I did not realise just quite the depth of history there. So medieval guilds were professional associations of craftsmen and merchants. The guilds regulated trade, helped maintain standards, but also functioned as a way of building the profession through apprentice schemes that led to being master craftsmen. So the merchants, they were into the wholesale and long distance trading, and they controlled those markets and those market towns and things like that. The craft guilds, they were the occupations. So they were the ones who supplied the artisans such as weavers and blacksmiths and bakers and shoemakers and, of course, stonemasons.
Quite a diverse sort of lot of occupations.
So I guess the Freemasons were kind of like the first architects. They controlled the stone construction and they oversaw the building of those great European cathedrals and castles.
Oh, wow.
Makes me think of Ken Follett books.
Yes.
Yeah. He went into that in Pillars of the Earth, I think.
Very cool.
Yeah. So the structure of the guilds, boys from as young as 10 could become apprentice stonemasons, and they learned basic skills in exchange for food and housing and training.
Okay, how long would that take, do you think?
Oh, look, it could take anywhere from 5 to 9 years.
That's a decent chunk of your education there, isn't it?
Yeah. So obviously they took that training very seriously. The journeymen, I love that. They went on journeys.
Yep.
They were the qualified workers. So once they'd qualified, they could then travel around and actually earn some money and gain hands-on experience on those major building sites.
Okay.
And that, of course, eventually could lead to those master masons. And they're the ones who actually designed those, masterpieces like the cathedrals and the castles and things like that. But they also managed the projects and trained the apprentices.
Oh, how very interesting.
I thought so.
Speaking of Freemasons, so there's quite a few. You probably know like lots of people that were Freemasons, but some of the more famous ones, you know, you got your George Washingtons, your Winston Churchills, Buzz Aldrin. I didn't realise he was a Mason. Apparently he was. Mark Twain, Harry Houdini. So, Freemasons, so as I understand it, it's they were working with a soft free stone used in the fine carvings. And you may have heard of things like the secret signs, like private passwords or handshakes. These were actually used to verify the skill levels of how the master craftsman, you know, it's a way for the master craftsman to be identified. So,
well, it wasn't like you had a website that you could go to and go, oh, that person there, he's a qualified master craftsman.
Exactly.
So I guess it would be too easy for people to pull the wool over other people's eyes. So I guess, you know, that makes sense that they had these secret handshakes.
It does. It really does. And I mean, and the good thing about the guilds, you know, Freemasons, is that they used to care for their sick and injured workers and financially support families of deceased members. So this was before we had things like, you know, government assistance. So it really was a way to, build some community support where there was none. And that's something that they still do to this day. I mean, that philanthropy, you know, fraternal bonding. That's still part of their core values, as I understand it. So
yeah, I think it was very much like that. You belonged to the family of Freemasons.
That's right.
Yeah. The first Grand Lodge actually dates back 300 years. It was established in England in 1717. But from there, the Freemasonry spread all over the world. The first Freemasons actually came to New Zealand in the early 1800s, predominantly from England, Ireland and Scotland, which you wouldn't be surprised at, with the very first meeting in the country being held in 1837.
Wow, yeah, 3 years before Te Tiriti of Waitangi.
Yeah.
Wow.
The first lodge was founded in 1842 and they actually formed a New Zealand constitution in 1890. So until then it was that they would be governed by the constitutions of whichever group, whether you were
Scottish, or English.
Interesting.
In Southland specifically, so Freemasons really date from that mid 1860s period, and unsurprisingly they're recognized as most notably for their iconic architecture. There's Mason halls all throughout Southland.
And you can spot them.
You can spot them. They're very, very noticeable.
Yeah, some are very grand.
Yes.
Some maybe not so grand, but they stand out. Special architectural features.
That's pretty cool, eh?
Yeah, yeah. So the first of the lodges in Southland was actually in Invercargill, and it was the Southern Cross Lodge number 997. And they held their first meeting at a lodge room in a hotel in Tweed Street in April of 1864.
That is very early.
We were still a young place at that time. So apparently it was attended by 34 Masons and they had 5 new candidates for inclusion.
That's got to remember back in those days, Invercargill was just a wee village, so you know that's a decent chunk of the adult population.
Very much so, the adult male population. I think we should say there.
Adult male.
Now, I'm sure that you have been to Queenstown.
I have.
And walked along the waterfront there.
I have.
And you may have spotted a beautiful, quite small but beautifully proportioned stone building there.
Yes.
That was actually the Lake Lodge of Ophir, and it came very hard on the heels of the Invercargill one. So that was founded in July of 1864, and apparently it is the sixth oldest Masonic lodge in the country.
Oh wow!
And still used as a Masonic.
See, that's incredible,
though. Yeah. Apparently, the Lake Lodge of Ophir, that name derives from the Old Testament and refers to a fabled region of gold. So that is very appropriate, isn't it?
Well, the town of Ophir, in central Otago too. So, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, very cool.
So that's where we can trace back the origins of that particular word.
Oh, should we have a talk about the buildings in town here?
I think so. So first cab off the rank, the first lodge building in the province was built in 1864. We know it today as the Southland Provincial Council Chambers.
Yes.
Yes. Not that it's used as a council chamber
it's
anymore.
A bit more fashionable these days than what it well, fashion focused, I should say, rather than fashionable.
Absolutely. Yes absolutely. So it was consecrated in November 1864, but very quickly was sold to the Provincial Council.
Yes. Yeah, they needed a place to hold their meetings.
Mm. They did share the space for a wee bit of time with the new owners, but they did then move their meetings to the Clarendon Hotel, which I think was probably just across the road.
Yeah, and as I understand it, they had some permanent lodge rooms set up behind there as well, so that's quite cool too. It wasn't just a temporary thing, you know, they brought all their paraphernalia along.
Yeah, so in behind where the Prince of Wales where the Grand is now.
Yeah. Just in behind there,
somewhere. They did have their lodge meetings in there for a while. So, but of course, you know, Southland Province, when it was established, they needed somewhere to hold their meetings. So that was the purpose of buying that building. But of course it was pretty short lived. So by 1870, Southland Province was abolished.
We went back to our friends in Otago for a wee bit.
We did. And so the building itself was taken over by the Crown.
Mm-hmm. And it was after that, it was used as a courthouse for the Supreme Court. Which is quite interesting for the rest of the 1870s, or almost the rest of the 1870s.
That must have been before they built that amazing big brick Supreme Court in Tay Street.
Oh, gosh. Huge. That was such a beautiful building.
With the beautiful Doric.
Yeah. I'm sad to miss a building, but yeah.
I know. So, it then also, around about the same time, it became the chambers of the new Invercargill Borough Council.
That's right.
Yeah.
But as these things happen, by the end of the century, it was considered a bit too small. So that's when we moved on to the municipal theatre, or civic theatre as we know it these days.
I know, but they did not all move there. So they still had the gas and the traffic departments in that provincial council chamber right through until 1959.
I'm sure it was, 59, that's incredible. Like, it just hung on there for quite a lot longer.
Do you remember Calder Mackay's department store? Or are you too young for that, Davey?
Oh, no, I don't recall it.
So right on that corner next to the Provincial Council Chambers was Calder Mackay's.
Yeah.
And they actually bought that Provincial Council Chamber in 1963. It was finally purchased by the Historic Places Trust in 1979. And there was actually a southern addition that was when that was demolished.
Absolutely.
And, of course, as we alluded to, it's still used as a retail premises today and owned by Heritage New Zealand.
That's right.
Mm.
You can actually go inside this incredible historic building. So
that's
very
right.
Cool.
We should move along to 4th Street, though.
Ah, 4th Street.
Mm-hmm.
So the 4th Masonic building built in Invercargill, though Heritage New Zealand state, it was the 3rd hall built for Masons in the city. Second in the street, later used as the Buffalo Hall. Now, I didn't realise we even had buffaloes down here.
There you go. All the things we learn.
Yes, now buffaloes, we should probably clarify, not the animal, the...
correct.
The
group.
The group.
The group, yes.
And the third was on the corner of Nathan 4th Street. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this one, it's an impressive Greek Revival building. So it was completed in 1926, so 100 years ago, which is an amazing milestone.
Yep.
Magnificent interior and exterior, and it sits on an elevated position. It's constructed in that brick and concrete that, you know, the building's restrained facade includes a fairly plain parapet and a cornice atop some boldly fluted Doric columns. So, yeah, it's an incredibly beautiful building, and it's a highly significant building, probably one of the most impressive lodge buildings in the country.
I would think
so.
I would think so. And it did remain a lodge for 93 years. It wasn't until it was sold for the first time in 2019. But just this year, just a month or so ago, it was purchased by the Church of Christ. Iglesia Ni Cristo have bought it, and so it will be
excellent.
Good to keep an eye on how things develop with that building. But I would say that over the years, there's been a number of community events that have been held there.
Oh,
it was the venue for the Southern Farmers Market on Sunday mornings for a while.
Absolutely.
Pretty popular for, you know, weddings and seminars and charity dinners.
All sorts, really, yeah.
Yeah, so I think there'll be a lot of people that have been in there.
Yeah, many a 21st, many a birthday party, all those sorts of things.
Yes, mm. I certainly remember attending a few functions in there.
Mm. Beautiful building. I'm glad it's getting used.
Yes, so. Yes. Mm. It certainly has real potential. Of course, if you really want to own your very own Masonic Hall in Southland, you can.
Can I?
Yes, you can.
Oh.
There's actually one that has been renovated in Lumsden.
Oh,
and
yes.
And I would highly recommend that you go right this minute and Google it and look at the photographs, because it is stunning.
It is gorgeous.
It is really stunning.
I've had a look through. They've done an amazing job with that.
Yeah. And it's quirky.
Mm. Doesn't look very Masonic-y, but it's definitely, they've made it their own space. So.
And I think it could be used for a whole lot of stuff. And it's just off the main road as you're going through Lumsden, so it's a really handy location. So definitely, if you want to go and check out what the interior of that particular old Masonic lodge looks like, I think you should definitely do that.
Absolutely.
Hey, thanks, Davey. I know we've only just done a quick roundup, but those are some of the ones that came to mind. And thanks for joining me on Heritage South. The show is available as a podcast from the Radio Southland website, radiosouthland.org.nz. You can stream or download this episode. Just look for us in the Programs tab. Links can also be found on Facebook through Radio Southland's page, facebook.com/Radio Southland, and also on Heritage South at Heritage South NZ. And if you want to make sure you don't miss any of our episodes, you can subscribe to this podcast on the Apple Podcast platform through the Access Media app or on Spotify.
The preceding podcast was brought to you by Radio Southland with the support of New Zealand On Air. Their funding of accessmedia.nz makes these podcasts available. To find similar programs by other stations involved, go online to accessmedia.nz.